Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining me this afternoon to learn some Erev Shabbos Parshas Shoftim. Look forward to now at the beginning of the year and my schedule and perhaps your schedules as well, getting back to normal to make sure that this is a weekly routine. And thank you for all of you for having called in the past, and thank you in advance for calling in the future. Parshas Shoftim is one of the most fascinating parshios in the Torah. I guess a person could say that about any parsha, but many of these parshios in Sefer Devarim, Re'eh, and Shoftim, Kiseitse, to me were always just a fascinating insight into some of the rules, regulations of Bnei Yisrael, setting up a community, setting up a nation, setting up an order, whether that has to do with the military, the king, the various Nevi'im who might come, the prophets who might come to challenge or be a Navi Sheker, how to set up the courts, how to set up the various other means of society. And often the insights that the Meforshim provide and the Midrashim provide are not just the actual pragmatics of what it means to have a military, what it means to have an ordered society, but some of the machshavos, some of the thoughts, the kavanos, the feelings that exist behind some of the decisions and some of the organizational decisions, to me, sort of that underlying layer of the mental, emotional aspect is what I find fascinating. And one of those places can be seen at the very beginning of Parshat Shoftim, and I'm going to ask for your forbearance and patience. I'm going to do a little more reading of sources than I normally might do, but the sources themselves, to me, are fascinating. The pasuk begins, Shoftim b'shotrim titein lecha b'chol sharecha. We have to place Shoftim, judges, Dayanim, or various other judges, the Shotrim. Who are the Shotrim? A Shofet we know. Who's a Shoter? So a Shoter is like Mishtara. A Shoter is the strong arm, is the guy who perhaps is giving out the punishment, the guy with the billy club, the person who's keeping everything in line. And these two people, the Shofet, the scholar, the judge, the intellectual, the Shoter, the strong-armed sort of policeman, so to speak, all these people have to be Chol Sharecha in all of your gates and all of your towns, all of your communities. So listen to this amazing Medrash. The Medrash says, Shoftim b'shotrim, judges and policemen, so to speak. Mahu Shoftim b'shotrim, Rabbanon Amri, Sheyehe HaShoter k'shofet. The person who is the strong arm of the law needs to be like the Shofet, like the judge. Now, what does it mean? He has to be like the judge. The police have to be like the lawyers, like the judge. And in what way is that meant? So some of the Forshim on that Medrash, the way that they explain the Medrash is the following, that we would understand, obviously, that the Shofet has to be a person who is wise. He has to be a Chacham. He has to be a Tzaddik.
Okay.
We understand that we would need all of that in our judicial system, in the Dayanim, that a Dayan has to be a Chacham and Tzaddik. We understand it very well. What the Medrash is pointing out is that even the Shoter, the person who is the one giving out a makeh, the wounds and the malkos and forcing people to do mitzvos, even that person has to be a chacham and a tzaddik. That's what the Meforshim say. That means like that a shoter has to be like a shofet. His personality, his tzidkus, his wisdom, his temperament, all has to mirror that of the shofet himself. And the question is why? If we think about our own judicial system, and obviously the discussion of the police have been in the news, you know, without abatement for so many months, you know, even a policeman at his best, we don't necessarily say he has to be a chacham, a tzaddik. He should be a decent person. He should be an ethical person. But do we need him to be someone who could sit on the Supreme Court? Do we need him to be someone who can sit on a base din, the person who's someone involved in law enforcement? So if I were to ask you that question, you would probably say that the pashut pshat is that if a person is going to be given the role of inflicting harm on somebody else, that has to come from a very, very good place. It has to come. We're not going to give the right. We're not going to give the flexibility. We're not going to allow for halacha that person A can give malchus to person B, unless that person we can be sure that it's coming, you know, from a midostic place, from a good place. If not, the effect of beating someone else can be so corrosive, can be so harmful to somebody. And that's why you can almost like imagine a parent who feels that for whatever reason they have to hit their child. The child ran in the middle of the street and almost got hit by a truck. And the parent says, I need to go ahead and inflict the maka on my kid. They should do so, you know, almost only after getting themselves in a good place, not from a place of rage, but from like a very healthy place and from a very pure place. And then, okay, if you have to inflict damage on someone, you do so, but that type of act needs to be an outgrowth of a personality of Darkei Noam. And I think that is absolutely true, and I think we see that in a lot of places. A person can act harshly sometimes, but that harshness would be too much, would be too corrosive, unless the person themselves is worked out and developed and gentle. But the commentaries on the Medrash, they say even a different pshat, an amazing pshat. They say, I'll even read you a line, who may hashoter from this person, this policeman, yikach hamuka musar shelo lachato od, v'zeo shomer hashoter kashofet. I mean, the person themselves who's the muka, the person who is getting the wound, the injury, the malchus, that person is going to take it better from someone who is a chacham and who is a tzaddik. So it's not such a worried about the person who's giving out, doling out the punishment, but the person who's receiving the punishment, it's going to be felt completely differently if it's coming from somebody who's a chacham and a tzaddik. So the Mefarshim point out something extraordinary about this medrash and about this pshat. The person who's giving malchus is not saying anything. He's not giving musar. He's not talking to the guy. He's not trying to be makari with this person. He simply comes with his staff and he hits the person. But yet, even though there's no educational piece and there's no chinuch piece to this, if the person who's dishing it out himself is chacham tzaddik, it's going to be felt differently by the recipient. It's going to be felt differently by the person who's getting that blow because he just knows who's doing it to him. And that is miyaches, that connects to the Gemara. The Gemara says that the person who doesn't fear God is not going to fear a beis din also, and therefore the punishment's ineffective. The only way and time that the punishment's effective is if he really feels the sincerity, the love, the commitment, the decency, goodness of the person who's giving to him. Just to go to somebody and to throw him into jail and to lock him up and to beat him in jail, that does nothing. That only does something if the person who's receiving that punishment feels connected and feels the sincerity of, it could be a security guard, it could be a counselor, it could be somebody in the jail, but just to punish a person really has no effect. And often we've come to see doesn't even come as a deterrent to someone doing the crime. Now this idea is reflected as well, and I'm going to give me a second, please, to read this piece by an idea by the Sefer HaYashar. Sefer HaYashar is ascribed to Rabbeinu Tam, the grandson of Rashi, very, very old Sefer, back from the 13th century. We're not really sure if Rabbeinu Tam wrote it or not. But he says the following. I'm just going to read you a few lines. The Kasher Yilmad Lazula, so when person A teaches person B, and I ask all of you to think about the best Rebbeim, the best teachers, the best rabbis you've ever had before, okay, O Yisar Lutamadov, or he gives a Musar, Al Yishkach Lisar Nafsho Imo Ululamdav. don't forget, a father, a parent, a Rebbe should never forget lisar nafsho imo, to give over his soul and heart to the student, to the person that he's teaching. Kilo nachon adam lisar lazula. So a person cannot give punishment, musar, tochacha, any of these things, the mashenu osem. Okay, ulame mashenu maminbo. If a person is not totally committed, doesn't believe it, and doesn't feel connected to the person speaking to. Anything that comes from the heart penetrates the heart. And Rabbi Natan goes on to say, let's see the following. If the person really accepts something that you're telling them, your child really accepts something that you've instructed them in, your grandchild, so akir ki b'chol libo b'chol ma'odo hu medaber. Then we know that whoever was telling over this lesson was doing so with all his heart. V'im nafshi lo tashis libo l'dvarav, if my heart is closed to you, v'lo his orura l'hakazik bam, I'm not inspired to follow what your words say, eza, I will know, ki mosro eino kim davar sasayim. You're only saying things from the lips. You're just talking, but you're not really feeling connected to the person you're speaking to. Now, what this idea of Rabbeinu Tam indicates is that a child, a student, a congregant, anybody, you know, an employee, they automatically know if the words are coming from love and sincerity and that the person who's saying them believes in them themselves, because if that is true, then the recipient will receive it, embrace it, accept it. But if you have any sense that the person you're speaking to, parent, grandparent, teacher, etc., is not connected to you in those words, automatically, it's like something sort of mystical, something spiritual, will block off the effectiveness of those words. It's almost like you can talk to me for 3 hours, but if I know that you're not really with me in this, it's like automatically, psychologically, something about myself shuts down. And that's a beautiful insight by Rabbeinu Tam. But the insight from that medrash you mentioned before by Shotrim is even more than that. Because the Shoter is not even saying a word. He's not upstanding in front of a shul. He's not a parent lecturing their kid. He's not a rabbi, a teacher in the classroom. All he's doing is giving out a makkah. But the person who's receiving it just feels that it's different. It is coming from a chacham and a tzaddik, somebody who's sincere, somebody who truly cares, even just the makkah itself, even the hit itself, will feel different if it's coming in a certain context. Now, this lesson, at least for me as a parent, is invaluable and absolutely mandatory. Sometimes, like all people, I find myself upset at my children. I find myself speaking harshly. And I thought that I should ask myself, not that I do this enough, but I should ask myself, am I saying something, both the words and the tone and how it's conveyed, that's really for my child or for a student, that I'm really trying to connect with them and lovingly instruct them? Or is this a reflection of perhaps my frustration, at that moment anger, at that moment disappointment? And if it's the latter, if it's coming from just my own sfasayim, if it's just coming from my own needs or any of our own needs, then those words or any actions are ineffective. If a punishment is coming just to punish because a parent or a grandparent or a teacher is frustrated, so again, there's an emptiness. It doesn't mean anything. Everything has to be done with a sense of a nefesh kashura, a connected soul, a connected heart, completely shem shemayim, completely sincere. Now this approach in life, and I'll conclude with this, requires the utmost of work. It requires truly believing what we're doing, truly believing the messages that we're giving over to people in our life. It requires the ability to sort of put aside our own sort of humanity, our own ego, our own biases, our own sort of self, and just to focus on the person that we're dealing with. And again, the point being is, if we don't do that, if we make it about ourselves, not connected to whoever the people are in our life, so whatever we're trying to convey and carry over will probably be ignored and probably be met with a certain amount of skepticism and scorn. The goal is to work on ourselves, to focus on doing things that are l'shem shemayim. It's not about us, it's not about, you know, our needs and our ego, and we want to say this, and I want to get that, and I want to get out a certain message to my kids. No, it's about making sure that everything is done b'nachas, b'leib shalem, connected to the person, that even if we have to speak harshly, even if we have to act harshly, but if we convey that with a sense of being connected to people in our life, it will certainly be received in a very different type of way. That's one of the many, many beautiful, valuable, and timeless messages of Parsha Shoftim, and really, for that matter, for the entire Torah. We should resolve that to learn the Parsha this week, enjoy it, gain from it, and put into practice the valuable messages that Hashem Baruch Hu imparts to us through the Torah of Kedosha. Thank you, and have a good day. Thank you.